Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to another segment of Complete Wellness with Cindy, the Busy Woman's Cheerleader. I am so happy today. You know, I'm always excited whenever we have a guest. And today we have Andrea Nicholson. She's a holistic nutrition and lifestyle consultant. But before we get to that, talking about gut health, something that we all need to discuss and figure out and find out how to work around it and make it work. Let's do some housekeeping. Our power quote of the day is, sometimes the only available transportation is a leap of faith. And that comes from Margaret Shepherd. All right. So, Miss Andrea.
Hi.
Hi. How are you doing? What is today? Happy Wednesday?
It is Wednesday, yes.
Wednesday. So I've had some that were in other countries, and I start to struggle with the time zone. So you're on the same side of the country.
Right.
So, tell us about yourself. Tell us, you know, basically what you do, what made you get started in this particular field, that good stuff.
Okay. So I am a former forensic scientist and crime lab manager turned holistic nutritionist. And, you know, that's an interesting story, but it does play into why I made the transition. Okay. I, you know, was working that career and I loved it. But it was long hours and it was very negative and it was very stressful. And, you know, you're only ever dealing with people in their worst, usually at 2 a.m., mm-hmm. like all the things. So, you know, long hours, high stress, lots of drama, lots of negativity, just all the things. And my own health was declining through this process. I didn't realize it really at the time how much that stress was playing in. I now know how much that was playing in. But I also realized through that, you know, crazy busy schedule that I wasn't eating as well as I could have been. I was actually eating far too often or far too infrequently, kind of a little bit of both sides of the spectrum there. You know, I was often eating on the go and I just didn't have great habits around the things I was doing. So even when I was eating great foods, I didn't have the good habits around it. So my digestion ended up really suffering. My hormones ended up really suffering. My overall wellness, just in general, I was getting sick more often. I just never felt good. And when I was at the point in my life when I was going to, you know, make this career transition, this was kind of the logical choice for me because I had learned so much and ultimately ended up healing my own body through the process of just learning, just educating myself and working with other practitioners and just really learning a lot that it was just the logical thing. I've always been passionate about health. I've always been fascinated by nutrition science and all the ways that we can heal ourselves. And so that's what brought me down this path.
Well, this is awesome. When you mentioned about all the stress that you were under, I just had like this flash because this is my second career as well. I've been an accountant for almost 30 years. Wow. And I tell you, the stress level, it's like when you're in corporate America or in those professional positions that you train for, this is what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. It's like you enjoy them in the beginning, but after a while, the levels of stress begin to take a toll on you. And when they take a toll on you, you have to make decisions. And so even with myself, I was always wealth and health, you know, similar to what, you know, just wealth and health. So at this point, I tell people the second half of my life, I'm kind of trying to focus, you know, on things that, you know, keep me going naturally. So gut health, what is the deal with, I mean, because the funny thing is, and I think, I was telling you this before, I don't know of a woman, because I've got this holistic body boutique. We're always talking about increasing your fiber, the bloatedness, all of the things that go on in our core there. Some people eat clean. Some people, you know, barely eat, like you said, and they still have the same problems. Some people are sweet freaks, .. But then you eat it in moderation, but it's to a point now where nothing really digests properly for women. And it's like the older you get, the worse it becomes. Then you're constipated. Then you're clogged up. Then you're foggy brain. It's just so much. So what is the remedy? Tell us. I'm listening.
You know, I think it's a big topic for one. There's a lot of moving parts in the digestive system, figuratively and literally. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to it. And because it's such a complex, comprehensive system that literally touches every other system in your body, from your brain to your hormones to all of your organs, your cardiovascular system, all of your blood vessels, literally it touches every system in the body. Wow. That also means there's a lot of different things that can go wrong.
Okay.
You know, if you're not eating a quality diet, you're not providing your body with the building blocks that it needs to make tissue.
What is a quality diet? What is a quality diet?
You know, there's some individuality here, because there, some people are really designed to eat a much more protein focused diet. Some people really need more fats, and some people do need a little bit naturally higher carbohydrates or specific carbohydrates.
Okay.
So there is some variation here, but obviously when we're eating on the go and we're hitting fast food joints and we're living on, you know, these sugar filled coffees and energy drinks and those kinds of things, we're not providing our bodies with those basic building blocks that we need. We need essential amino acids. We need healthy fats. We need adequate energy sources, and we need our bodies to be in the right state to be able to use our stored energies when we're not constantly eating, because it's really not optimal to constantly be eating if we can avoid that. Yeah, but we've kind of, we've lost touch with what our true signals are. We've lost touch with what real true hunger feels like and what real satiety feels like. We've lost touch with these natural signals because we're so distracted and we're just in convenience mode, grabbing whatever's easy, reheating things, grabbing packages, popping cans, those kinds of things. We're not necessarily in touch with what we're eating. And that's really where digestion starts, is paying attention to what we're doing. It starts in the brain. Okay. Before we've even eaten anything, digestion's already starting, just thinking about food, smelling food, all of those kinds of things get those digestive juices flowing. Okay. When you just grab and go, you don't even get your body in the right state to begin with. Okay. So I think that's the starting point. I think even if you're eating a quality diet, though, that doesn't necessarily automatically mean that you're digesting it well or that you're absorbing those nutrients well.
Okay.
So if your digestive organs aren't working properly, or if you're not releasing adequate amounts of digestive enzymes, if you don't have adequate stomach acid, then you can't break down your food properly. If you can't break down the food properly, you don't get those building blocks. If you don't have the building blocks, you can't make the hormones. You can't make the organ tissues. You can't make new muscles and new bone and all of the things that we need to just survive. And then the last piece is, if those systems aren't working properly, we are also not eliminating wastes properly. So the waste products from our food, the waste products from building muscle, building tissues, you know, energy metabolism, all of those things produce byproducts. Mm-hmm. Even our hormones, when we're done using a particular hormone molecule, we have to detox it and get it out of the body.
Okay.
If we don't detox these things properly, if we don't eliminate that waste properly, those toxins and waste products can end up recirculating. They contribute to inflammation, which damages all of those systems. So it's really a complex system that we have to optimize multiple pieces. And that looks a little bit different for everyone, depending on what's actually going wrong.
Okay. Okay. So how does a person determine which nutrients or diet, not like diet fad, but how to plan their meals accordingly for their particular body type? What is it? It was metabolic. It's on the tip of my tongue. The metabolic health.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't that play a part with?
Absolutely.
Okay. So could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. I think a big part of actually getting to the root of what you personally need is identifying where those imbalances are. And okay. I'm a big fan of using testing to figure that out, so that we're getting solid, concrete answers to help us figure out where your metabolism is off.
Okay.
Do you have a nutrient deficiency? And we can patch that up with your diet or with potentially supplements, in some cases, medications. It just depends on what's going on. Do you have like low levels of the good bacteria that you really need to be able to properly break down foods and assimilate nutrients and synthesize new nutrients. Mm-hmm. The bacteria actually do a lot of those things. They also produce a lot of our neurotransmitters. So serotonin, dopamine, all of those are made in our gut, and our bacteria are making a lot of them. So if we don't have those bacteria, we're lacking in those things.
Okay.
So I think that's the first piece, is really identifying what your personal imbalances are. Mm-hmm. Is it a nutrient deficiency? Is it a bacterial imbalance? Do you have a pathogen? Do you have a parasite? Do you have food sensitivities? What is actually going on? Okay. And pairing that functional testing that gives us that solid data about you personally with what symptoms are you fighting? Is it constipation? Is it bloating? Are you tired? Do you have brain fog? You know, really pairing it back to you as a person. What is it that you want to fix? How is that vision of the perfect you or the perfect body or the perfect life different than what you have now? What is it that you want to change? And when we combine all of that data together, we can come up with the most targeted recommendations possible to get you there. But we have to know what the imbalances are to begin with and what it is that you want to fix, because only you know what symptoms you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That makes sense. So inflammation, what is the actual, what is the deal with that?
Inflammation is, it's another big topic. A lot of things can cause inflammation. And you'll hear a lot of people say that inflammation is the root of all disease. And while I don't disagree with that, I think we actually need to take it one layer deeper. What's okay. causing the inflammation?
Right, right.
That's the thing we have to fix.
Okay.
So if you're in a state of inflammation because of, say, a parasite, then we need to fix the parasite. We need to get rid of that. If you're inflamed because you're eating a poor diet, then we need to fix that. Mm-hmm. If you're inflamed because of an injury, maybe we need to fix that, or you have some kind of tissue damage. So we really have to bring it back to, again, what is the cause? What's the imbalance? What's the missing piece or the overpresent piece? You know, if you're recirculating toxins, or if you're being exposed to something on a routine basis, mm-hmm. if you live in a moldy home or those kinds of things, if you're constantly being exposed to particular air fresheners or toxins in your environment, we need to figure out what that cause is and remove that. Air fresheners are incredibly toxic. Hundreds of chemicals in every fragrance. You know, unless you're using like essential oils or something whole, natural. If you're using like plug-in air fresheners or air freshener sprays or even scented laundry detergents or scented soaps, every time you see perfume or fragrance on a product, just think hundreds of unknown chemicals.
Oh my goodness.
And so, they're all proprietary. So you literally don't even know what you're inhaling.
Oh gosh. Well, you know, it's sad because it seems like everywhere and everything is not good for you these days.
It does feel that way. It does. And it's not true, but there are more and more things that are interfering with us living our best lives and having our best health.
Right. This is true. This is true. So with you mentioning holistic, what would be a holistic way for a person, or what would be the roadmap that you would give a person in order to, I guess, figure out, you know, what is going on with them? And I guess some ways, holistic ways to be able to start that process to clean your gut or get it on track. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it really starts with taking a good hard look at the overall lifestyle. So looking at the diet, looking at the type and amount of exercise that you're getting, looking at the overall lifestyle, looking at how much stress you're under and all the different kinds of stress. You know, infections are stressful. Over-exercising is stressful. You add that with financial and relationships and all of the normal stress that we think of.
Right.
How well are you sleeping? How much are you sleeping? Have you actually used a sleep tracker to see how well, what quality of sleep you're getting? So we have to kind of look at overall all of those things and really take stock of what we can optimize. You know, where can we maybe up-level the diet a little bit or improve something in that realm? How can we get you doing the right kinds of exercise that are going to give you the biggest bang for your buck without adding too much stress to the body? You know, so we really want to optimize each one of those sections for you. Mm-hmm. And what that looks like is different based on what you're trying to do. What's your goal? What's the outcome? Generally speaking, you know, if you're, say you have bloating and that's your main concern, the main thing you really want to reverse, Well, that's going to look different than someone who really wants to, say, be able to run a 5K. Mm-hmm. Those are two completely different things.
Yeah.
And so what we actually do within all of those categories is going to be different. So we have to look at all of this through the lens of, what's your goal? Mm-hmm. What are you trying to eliminate? Or what are you trying to create? Mm-hmm. And then we can come up with the best plan to get you there once we have all that information.
So how do you feel about like the vegans, a vegetarian, pescatarian? How do you feel about those? Are those types of diets, or even the Mediterranean diet, is that something contributory towards having good gut health? What are your thoughts on that?
I think there's a lot of benefits to all of the different styles of eating. They all emphasize certain things that are really good. Mm-hmm. A lot of them also restrict certain things that might not also be good. You know, those things that now you're not eating because you're following this particular way of eating. If you're not eating certain things that are actually really good for you or that provide adequate nutrients, then I think, you know, you could be doing yourself some harm, but there's some great benefits to all of the different styles. So I think we have to take into account you, your tastes, the things that you like, and kind of your barriers, the things you're like, oh, I'm not going to eat that, or I can't give up this thing. We have to take that into account, because if you hate the plan, it doesn't matter how perfect it is, you're not going to do it.
Right.
So we have to personalize it to the things you like, the things you're comfortable with, the things that you will and won't do. But then I would rather everyone kind of get out of those labels and just focus on quality. Whatever it is that you're going to eat, get the best possible quality you can. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, there's some basic metrics. There's some essential amino acids that we have to consume because we need them and we can't make them.
Right.
We have to consume them. Same thing with certain fatty acids. We have to consume them. We cannot make them, and we are required to have them to have a proper body.
Okay.
Everything else we can make out of all the other foods that we consume. We can make sugars out of proteins, out of fatty acid components. Mm-hmm. We can make some of the amino acids out of other amino acids, out of other nutrients. So we can, and same thing with fats, we can make some fats out of other components. We can convert lots of things into fat. Mm-hmm. So we have to consume those essentials. We can't make them. We can't do anything to get those other than eat them. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, there's actually quite a bit of leeway in what we eat and what we don't eat. As long as we're hitting those essentials, then we really do have all the building blocks that we need.
Okay. So what about insulin sensitivity?
This is a big one. Mm-hmm. Insulin sensitivity or insulin resistance has become a huge problem. And the vast majority of people who are struggling with this have no idea that they have a problem. Mm-hmm. The reason for that is there's no overt symptoms of insulin resistance. You don't feel sick. You don't necessarily have any health challenges or any problems. People generally find out because of lab testing. Mm. They find out when they have a fasting glucose tested, their hemoglobin A1C tested, in some cases a fasting insulin. That one's a little bit less common. It's more common in the functional health practitioner world. But there's these metrics that people can get tested, their blood tests that, you know, your doctor may run or your practitioner may run. Mm. That's when people find out they have it.
Wow.
And so there's this hidden epidemic of insulin resistance that people don't even know they have. And so they're baby stepping their way to conditions like cardiovascular disease and thyroid imbalances and diabetes and even cancer. Mm-hmm. Insulin is a growth hormone. Mm-hmm. So not only does it convert all of those fuels that we just talked about into fat and actually put you in a storage mode, so it's storing everything you take in, but it also promotes growth. So if you happen to have a cancer, high insulin is making cancer grow faster. Mm. It's making anything that it comes in contact with grow. Mm. And so obviously that's not what we want in a lot of cases. Right. We don't want our fat stores to grow in most cases.
Right.
We don't want cancer to grow, those kinds of things. So it is a really big deal. And unfortunately, most people don't realize they have it unless they've already been diagnosed with diabetes or one of these other metabolic conditions.
God forbid. But what are some ways to be proactive, being that you said it was basically a silent something that people it just kind of creaked up. They didn't know unless they had the lab test. So let's just say, what is that, you know, give some type of something, you know, to the listening audience as far as some proactive ways, because, you know, statistics let us know that, especially as you're aging, these things creep up. Some people, you know, have like the old tendencies where they understand and they listen to their body. So they, you know, it's like something's going on. Oh, well, you know, you get the itis after you eat a meal. That's probably, you know, a little sensitivity to insulin or sugars. So, you know, what are some viable, actionable, proactive steps that you can give our listening audience just to start that wellness journey to be proactive instead of reactive?
Yeah, I think the number one thing is carbohydrates are the biggest driver of insulin. Proteins have a little bit of response and fats have basically none, especially all by themselves. So carbohydrates have the biggest impact on how high your insulin levels rise and how long they stay elevated. So I think that's the biggest lever that we have that we can pull, you know, really controlling not only the types of carbohydrates, but just the overall amount that we eat. The vast majority of us, I think that I read a study at one point that said that we eat on average 250 to 300 grams of carbohydrates a day. Most of us could easily function on less than 100 grams a day. So we're eating 2.5 to 3 times more carbohydrates than we really need. And the vast majority of those are in refined carbs. So that's in your sodas, your candies, your donuts, your bagels, your bread, pasta, all of these things that aren't whole natural products. Mm-hmm. Most people that are eating that many grams of carbohydrates aren't doing it through vegetables and, you know, even starchy vegetables like potatoes, mm-hmm. because you'd have to eat like 10 potatoes a day. Nobody's doing that, but they're eating bread with their potato, with their soda, mm-hmm. or they're having pasta and bread and dessert.
That's a lot of pace.
It adds up really quickly. So I would say that's the first thing, is really take stock of the carbohydrates in total quantity and in the sources that you're getting. Stick to the vegetables, mostly fruits, a little bit less. And then the, you know, the starchier stuff, really pay attention to that and limit the refined stuff. If you can eliminate it, even the better. Mm-hmm. The second thing I would say is something really simple is take a walk after your meals. Mm-hmm. This doesn't have to be a 2 mile or a speed walk. Mm. Walk around the block, take a 10-minute walk after your meals. This makes a tremendous difference in how you utilize those fuels you just took in. And it takes them, instead of moving them into storage, it opens up your muscles to burn that sugar right away. So then you're not storing it. That alone can make a huge difference in how high your blood sugar rises and how long it stays elevated. It won't spike nearly as high and it'll come down to baseline much faster. So just that simple, take a walk, 10 minutes.
Now that's good news. That's good news. That's definitely good news. So sidebar here, I did learn that you were the author of When Good Habits Go Bad.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
That is just a little fun book. It's just a tiny little short thing. It does not take very long to read at all. And it's just kind of my top tips, top things that you might want to pay attention to where you think you're doing all the right things. And here's where maybe you took it a step too far. Mm. Or, you know, it's all of those little tips about when a good thing is taken to the extremes and how it can ultimately work against you. And so in one example of how that showed up for me was following the common advice of eating every 2 to 3 hours. Not only did that contribute to insulin resistance because my insulin levels never had time to come back down before I was eating again, but it also created a habit of hunger. I had absolutely no connection to my true hunger signals. I was convinced that I was starving all day long, but it's because I was eating all day long. I had trained my brain to expect food every 2 hours. And so I thought I was hungry all the time.
But do you know where it came from? Do you know where it came from? I'm laughing because I remember in my 30s and I was complaining about how I passed by the Krispy Kreme and saw the Hot Now sign. I didn't stop. I didn't eat or anything. I just sniff it, and it's like gaining weight. I'm not doing anything. Why am I gaining weight? And that's when I learned it, you know, and I remember she said, Cindy, she said, you know, your metabolism shot when you're 30. And it's like, no, I didn't know that. You know, at that time, that wasn't an open conversation. I guess that was a medical term because it wasn't a common conversation as it is now when, you know, people are basically striving for health and holistic wellness. So I remember at that time, I said, because she asked me about the frequency of my meals. And I was telling her at that time, and I was like early 30s, maybe 32, 33. But I was telling her at that time, I said, well, I know that when I'm working as an accountant out there at that time, I had to eat because it's like me thinking so hard. I was metabolizing my food. I'm burning it up. And so she said, well, and she said, do you eat three meals? No, I don't. I did not eat three meals. I've never really been one to eat three meals, but I was trying to transition my snacks from like donuts to like maybe a yogurt or maybe applesauce or something. I was trying to. And I remember her telling me, instead of eating two to three big meals a day, just eat six every 2 hours, eat. And when you mention about that come down, when your body gets used to even on the weekend, when you don't need it and your body's like, I always call it like the Mucinex monster in my belly when I get hungry. I mean, it will not forgive. And it's like, what in the world? So the way it was so weird because it was almost as if to say, and she did say that, you know, like I said, give me a magic pill. I don't want to gain weight. I'm not going to give you a pill. She said, you don't have a weight issue. She said, don't you run or walk? I had stopped running ankles, you know? And so I would do like a brisk walk. And I said, well, I try to get, you know, 2 to 3 times a week, you know, for 30 minutes. Well, just up it for an hour. I mean, she just took what she, I loved her. Don't get me wrong. I love my doctor. But she, it was like she dismissed it as if I didn't have an issue, but I was really concerned. And then you're telling me to eat more. And it's like, no, this made sense to me. So the funny thing is, again, as you age, as you mature, you know your body and you learn your body. What has been beneficial for me, I'm still trying to kick my sugar habit. I'm trying. Mm-hmm. But I was able to help myself with like the bread because I've been a bread connoisseur, you know, probably all of my life, every type of bread or biscuit you can think of. But as you get older and you mature, you begin to pay attention to things and you know that you need to file some things down. And so the funny part is when you are trying to clean things up in that regards and in that respect, I found, you know, I heard about the keto. A lot of people do that to cut the carbs. It's worked for some. I can't say that it's been one of my favorite, but there are some of the recipes I do, you know, still use. But the intermittent fasting for me, and that's something that I really suggest a lot, even to a lot of our, you know, body boutique clients, you have to close that window. And I think that has a lot to do with as well people's increased levels of insulin sensitivity. It's because you're eating all day, literally eating all day, or you're eating these six meals, I mean, six snacks or however you break it up, you're eating all day. And so, like I said, you know, personally, I'm a fan of that, you know, people's different body forms and shapes. And stages in life, you know, is whether or not you do the 10, the 16, or the 14. But the problem a lot of times where you really have to kick in a level of self-control is when it's time to eat and that Mucinex monster is in your stomach, like fighting your stomach walls and guts, like feed me now or I'm going to shut you down. I'm going to shut you down. So that is a thing there. So how do you feel about between the two, the intermittent fasting versus the keto diets? I just don't feel like, I'm not sure. I don't know all the, you know, nuances of the keto diet, but is that sustainable or is that just to get you to a certain point and then you gradually move back to, I guess, you know, certain types of carbs?
Yeah. And let me break those into two topics here first. Okay. So intermittent fasting, I'm a huge fan, totally on board with you. Huge fan. I do think there's a little bit of nuance to how you do it. And I think there's a wrong way to do it.
Yes.
And what I see is a lot of people do two things that I think are not the healthy way to do intermittent fasting. One is they use it as the excuse to eat whatever they want because they'll just fast it away. And two is they already ate everything they wanted, and now they're going to punish themselves by fasting. I don't think either one of those is the right thing to do. I think that is the wrong reason to fast. That is the wrong way to go about it. Mm-hmm. I do think when you pair intermittent fasting with a good quality diet with real whole foods, it can be life-changing. It reduces inflammation. It helps repair all of your systems in the body. It can help rebalance hormones. It can do amazing things. But you do have to have those basic building blocks. If you're eating nothing but donuts and soda and then fasting it away, you didn't give your body anything it actually needed.
Right, right.
So really you're still in that starvation mode because you didn't give it any actual nutrition. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's the right way to do. I think if you do it right with a good quality diet, intermittent fasting is amazing. And I think it can start as simple as just stop snacking and stick to meals.
Okay.
And then from there, you can kind of narrow the window and start eating the meals closer together so that you have that longer fasting window from dinner one day to the first meal the next day. But I think it can be really simple and very beneficial when done correctly.
Okay.
I would actually say the same thing about keto. I think keto has some tremendous benefits when done right.
Okay.
Unfortunately, a lot of what you see online is people saying, just eat all the fat, eat all the things, and the quality doesn't matter. And you can buy all these keto treats and keto breads and keto candy bars. And no, that's not a healthy way to approach any diet.
You know, it's not filling. And you find yourself having to eat three or four to taste it. So it's tiny. And you're telling me this is supposed to be filling. Okay. How many grams of protein is in this? It's not enough to get that monster out of my belly when she's hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say the same thing. Don't do keto treats. Don't do keto. Really don't buy keto products. If it says the word keto on it, just stay away. You don't need anything marketed as a keto product. The whole thing with keto is just reducing your carbohydrate level. Specifically for keto, it's generally considered less than 20 grams a day. Not everyone needs to go that far. That is where some people feel their best. Because then they're prioritizing their protein and they're getting adequate healthy fats and they just don't need that many carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. But for some people that, you know, that does narrow the types of foods you can pick from then. And they just don't enjoy the food as much.
Right.
So if that's you, then I don't think you necessarily have to go all the way to keto. You don't have to go all the way to the 20 grams of carbohydrates necessarily. Maybe you can do 50 grams or even 100 grams. That's still a third of what the average person is eating.
Right.
That's still tremendous. So I think there's great benefit in a keto diet done well, and it absolutely has some tremendously therapeutic benefits for multiple conditions. It's not just a diet for epilepsy. It really can help reverse diabetes, reverse metabolic syndrome, lower insulin resistance. It's been shown to be beneficial in cardiovascular disease and thyroid imbalances and lots of things. So it really does have some tremendous therapeutic benefits when done properly. But I would say the same thing is true for low carbohydrate diets, for cycling your diet, cycling carbohydrates. I think there's a lot of benefits to all of it. So it's finding those unique nuances for you. What are your goals? How do you feel? What foods do you like? Where are your boundaries? All of those kinds of things. And then we can figure out which one of these styles of eating actually fits you the best.
Right. That makes sense. Well, this is good. This is good information. So two things. What would be your final words as far as like takeaways?
Yeah, I would say, you know, just start somewhere. Mm-hmm. Take a few minutes and really take stock of all of the things you're doing, good and bad. You know, what are you eating? How often are you eating? How are you sleeping? What are you doing to manage your stress? Are you doing things that actually bring you joy every single day, that make you laugh, that make you smile, that make you happy, that you look forward to? Do you have any past traumas that you haven't dealt with, or even a current trauma? Do you need to get help with that? Like, really, let's look at your overall lifestyle, your all of these aspects, and pick something. Start somewhere. And if you truly, if you truly don't know, or if you feel like there isn't just one thing and you really want to take on the whole thing, then find a practitioner that will really help you address all of these things in a sustainable way that will get you lasting results. Mm-hmm. I think that's the piece that's often missing from diet books and all of these things is how do you make it last?
Right.
And a lot of these things work, but then if you can't stick with them forever,
right,
the results don't last. Well, how do you keep your results forever? So I think that's where practitioners can really help you. Mm-hmm. But really, I would just say, start somewhere, pick something, do that consistently until it's a habit, and then add the second thing in, and then add the third thing in.
That works. That sounds good. Then the second question is the busy woman question of the day. What do you do to find balance? What do you do? What are those little things that you do for yourself? Self-care to keep maintain that work-life balance, not have it, you know, weighty on one side versus the other. What is your secret? What do you do? What are your things that you do to keep that balance?
You know, for me, I really live by my calendar. I really do. I schedule activities in, I schedule time away from work. I schedule, you know, fun events with my husband, or, you know, we have date night every week, those kinds of things. So I really do live by that schedule so that I don't find myself at 8 o'clock still sitting here working, mm-hmm. or on Saturdays or Sundays still working. I really structure my time so that I use my time efficiently, but I also build in that downtime where I can just read.
Yeah.
Or I can, you know, just chill and do something mindless.
Right.
We need that as well. Not, right. you know, we can't just get our rest when we're sleeping. We also need right. downtime.
Right. Right.
Throughout our lives.
No one's clock. When you're yeah. on no one's clock, just like, you know, the fluffy slippers and the bonnet, just, you know, just stay there and look at the sofa.
Exactly.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. So how can people get in contact with you if they wanted to get more information or patronize your services?
Yeah. The best way, if you want to know about what I can do to help you with your health, is to book a consultation, which you can do on my website, which is healthylifewithandrea.com. From that page, you'll see all the other things that I do. I do have an exclusive email list that I send out tips and tools and discounts and all kinds of things. I also have a podcast of my own. The book that you mentioned is on there as well. So all the things, but the best way, if you really want to know what I can do to help you, is book a consultation. It's free, 45 minutes. Let's talk about it.
That is awesome. Get the website again.
Healthylifewithandrea.com.
Okay. So I'd like to thank you. This has been very informative. I have enjoyed it, and we will see you next time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun.
Thanks.